بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إيرينيوم كينغ read a poetry. In the past, kings and nobles, their great pastime was poetry. In the process, they preserved the language. And now the pastime is sports or other futilities, right? Na deen ke rahe, na dunya ke rahe. There's no deeni benefit, no dunya benefit. The Norite was a pastime, called nonsense. But the good that came out of it was that the language was preserved. The Urdu language is not very old. I would say maximum is about 250-300 years. But the eloquence, the richness, the beauty, the attraction that's in that language is unimaginable. It's too much. So from the time it started off, our elders had invested in it. They invested so much that at least 35% of Urdu is Arabic. Every second, third word is an Arabic word. Main kisi zarurat ke liye ja raha hoon. Jamal people say, I got some takazas. Well, Arabic words. So they invested in the language. And they had to invest. Why they had to invest was, Hindi is not a Muslim language, but is a common language spoken in India. So Muslims need a language of their own. But that India got so many different cultures. At that time there was no borders. From Turkey right until India, like one land. No borders. People are just moving freely from one end to the other end. So they thought now, when there's such movement, there must be some common language that can run across. So they got Turkish in the language, they got Arabic in the language, they got Persian in the language, and they got Hindi in the language. A real chevro, you know. All mixed up. So that is why our elders considered learning Urdu as compulsory at a certain time. Now they've changed the whole stance. There was a zamana, there was an age, that they counted it to be compulsory to learn Urdu. Because nearly all the ilm is found in Arabic primarily, and after Arabic is found in Urdu. And then Urdu became such an international language, go to whichever country and you find someone knowing Urdu or speaking Urdu. Iceland, they wanted to build a masjid. So it's ice, and they can't build it with steel, that even crack. They can't build it with stone, that even also crack. It's so cold. So the only thing they could build it with was wood. So they got it built elsewhere, and they shipped it to Iceland. And who did it? Pakistanis did it. Urdu. So it became such an international language. So the wealth that is in this language, and our elders, how much they invested in this, and the affinity it's got to deen. Like in India, anyway, if you give a talk in Urdu, nearly the whole of India they will understand. Whether it is the furthest in Madras, that one end, right? Whether it's on the north, right towards Delhi and Sahanpur, etc. So wherever you go, this is one common language. So the advantage now, if an alim is giving a talk in Urdu, dini talk, you'll understand it. Whether you're sitting in Madras, Bengal, or you're sitting in Uttar Pradesh, Delhi, Sahanpur, Muzaffarnagar, but you learn it, remember it. With the conversion to Islam, it is important now that we introduce Arabic words into English. Wherever you can slot in Arabic words, Urdu words, just push it in. It's quite a bit of conversion. The stats are showing that the conversion is greater than the world birth rate. People are they're thirsty for something. And perhaps the reason is that for some time people have gone into atheism. Like the stats are showing, Europe got approximately 75% of atheism. They don't believe in God. And Israel is known as an Orthodox country, but it's got approximately 55% atheists. They don't believe. So they're there just to support the cause, that's all. Not the religion. It's a traditional thing coming from the ancestry, just to look after the traditional. That's all. But if you talk of religion, nothing to do with religion. So, kosher doesn't mean anything to them. There is a percent that will go, percentage that will go, but others, they're not concerned. So now, the effort now is to create that awareness of Allah Ta'ala. Consciousness of deen, akhirah, that's the effort. And one thing that we can do, everybody can do, is the Arabic words, Arabic, the words that are closest to Islam, bring into the language. Some contribution from every person, so everybody does something, it becomes a reality. You can say, I'm doing charitable work. So no, I'm doing my zakat work. You can say, I'm going for prayers. No, I'm going for salah. You can say it's the proclamation of the prayer. So no, azan. Here in Springer and Durban, most of the blacks, they understand azan. Kalang azan. You understand it? So they identify, they become familiar, then they become interested, and the next step is they come into Islam. So whatever we can do to attract people towards Islam, whatever, no person is too insignificant. Yes, with regards to our sins, etc., we say they're the worst, right? But we can do something for our deen. Whichever corner of the world he's living, he can do something. He tries, works, cries, something he can do. Around the 1920s, there was a mass conversion to Hinduism. It was a Shodhi movement. So, madrasas and all that, madrasas, tabligh jamaat, was quite concerned now. Logo ka kya hoga, what's going to happen? So that movement was going like wildfire. So they closed the madrasas, go. Whenever you see any conversion, go and walk. Sometimes the students, they're young, just 2 years, 3 years in the madrasa, and they're going out. But now it's a crucial moment. They may just turn to Hinduism. So, in many places, you have a chief, you know, how you have in Duna. So, there in India also you have a chief. They call him a Chaudhary or Nawab or something. So, he's like the head of the whole place. So, when I met him, as I say, we hear that this town is going to turn to Hinduism. Whereas you are at least about 500,000, you know. So they met with the leaders. So, can we have a talk with your people? So he says, alright. All students, young, second year, third year, madrasa, now they have to say this verse, Iman. One side they kept someone in the masjid making dua, the one side they're working. They said, no, you all can't. Impossible, you can't. So why? Tumhari to Muslimani ho gayi, see. You know, Muslimani means khatna. Circumcision, right? You are circumcised, so you can, it's impossible for you to become Hindu. Why can't we? If you want to become Hindu, then see that circumcised skin, you have to bring it, stick it back. If you don't, and that thing worked like a magic. All those people, they just refused to go into Hinduism. But I heard the story from some reliable people, but I think it was the ikhlas, the sincerity, that people crying in the masjid, that it affected them. But a simple thing, just a simple thing. So for the cause of deen, everybody can put the shoulder to the wheel, something here, there, do something. Everybody becomes complicit, no, he must do it, that person must do it. Then kya hoga? In the meanwhile, Hindus are doing their work, and the Shuddhi movement is going on. It is English time, 1920, 1930 is all English. So, the English, when they do work, then there is a follow-up, there is an investigation, there is an inquiry what's going on. So, they made an inquiry now. You know, see which class of people are not just accepting. A lot of people are accepting. But there is a class, you can see a sizable class, but they're not just budging, they're not just coming in. So, after that whole homework of theirs, they found out those that had anything to do with the Quran Sharif, reciting it, or listening to the Quran Sharif, or listening to the Quranic Dars lesson, you know, in any way, whether reading it, or listening to it, or the Quran Sharif is being taught, or the tafsir of the Quran Sharif is being taught, and they're listening to it regularly. They saw that those homes are totally safe. So, the Quran Sharif, what an effect, what an immunity it is. Reciting in the house, reciting it in the masjid, reciting out when you are traveling, when you are abroad, when you are at home, but you're reciting it. So that in itself is an immunity. It's the word of Allah Ta'ala. It must fortify you. It must. Somehow it will guarantee you protection. So this Quran Sharif has got that effect. That is why you would have noticed in the last say 45, 50 years ago, then stories of jinnat and jadu, all that, were unheard. Hardly heard about jinnat, jadu, 50 years ago, hardly. Because 50 years ago, we didn't hear of television, and hardly did you ever hear of pornography, right? People were living simple lives, and no television, no pornography. If it's like the free time, after Maghrib or after Fajr, if you're walking through the streets, you can hear someone, Quran Sharif, or the mother is teaching the child, the father is teaching the child, Quran Sharif is taken. So then you hardly found, 50, 60 years ago, you hardly found any person turning away from Islam or getting into a illicit type of a relationship. Talk about 50, 60 years ago, it was unheard of. Turning away from Islam or getting into any type of an illicit relationship didn't happen. Because the Quran Sharif was being recited, and that was the protection. Maybe they didn't have secular education, and they didn't have so much of wealth. But there were three, four things that were very prominent and you could see. One is, there was a great level of shame, modesty, extremely. And there was quite a high level of simplicity as well. So I remember, as a child, 6, 7 years of age, so in a wedding, whether it was wealthy or not wealthy, there weren't so much of varieties in the food. That's some kalyan naan plus an aleem. That's the common food. Wealthy or the poor. All eating the same food. So there wasn't such a big, huge variety then in the weddings. Not even in the food, not at home also. Not so much of variety. There was a simplicity. So, one was that there was shame. You hardly heard of anybody turning away from Islam. And the third thing that was very prominent was there was quite a bit of generosity. Like most people must have heard, if there was some stranger in the masjid, then there'll be a fight now, I'm taking him home. This person is saying, I'm grabbing the man, I'm taking him. And it was like a tug of war. Everybody wants to take that person home, feed the mihman, keep him for a night, keep him for one night, two nights, feed the person until he's alright and he's moving on. So now, with that simplicity, perhaps it was halal. And when it was halal, the money was, the wealth, everything was being directed in the right channels. So there wasn't apostasy, there wasn't illicit relationship, and there wasn't wastage. And now, with an abundance, and then, now, when you came into that luxury life, so luxury comes with a price. So the man has to work, the wife has to work, the daughter has to work, everybody has to work, and yet they can't meet the ends. They're earning like 10 people is one person earning like what 10 per person would have earned. But the expenses and the lifestyle has gone so extravagant that they still can't meet the ends. One person was here from Johannesburg, so he was managing the books of a black firm. The two blacks were the owners, and he's doing the books. So he tells me the monthly drawing used to be about 2 million, right? Monthly drawing. Such a big company it was. But by the 20th of the month, money is finished. 2 million is gone. See that lifestyle. So you brought it to that level. What could have lasted you for 10 years, now 1 month also is insufficient. So, the solution is this qanaat, contentment, satisfaction, trying doing with less. And then the excess doing with less, and the excess to learn how to channel it right. There'll be excess, but how do we channel it? Where? How? To whom? Who's the recipient? Who should we be giving it to? And who should we not be giving it to? Where should we spend? Our people, when they came to this country here, there were one, two things that was quite prominent in them. One was that they looked at their ancestry, came from India or wherever they came from. So they made the point that whatever surplus, they would send it. Their friends there, their families there. So we thought, alright, enough for us, let's send it there. So we call that Sila Rahimi, maintaining family ties. So when I look at this, I suppose the barakat that they've got in their businesses, in their life, etc., is because of maintaining a high level of Sila Rahimi, maintaining family ties. And that's the promise of the hadith, that you maintain that, then you'll get barakah. Sometimes a family member is a little bit funny, small things will upset him. But with all that, you still try and patch up and carry on. All fingers are not alike, temperaments are not the same. But now, we are Muslims, we will patch up and carry on. Look at the good side, look at the good qualities of the person and move on. I'll keep looking at the weakness and the wrong. We can't go forward. But look at the good of the person and say, alright, we saw the good, now let's move on. And slowly you try and correct him as well. If it's really bad, you will try and correct him as well. We can't just get stuck looking at the one wrong and get stuck. لَيْسَ الْوَاسِلُ الْمُكَافِي. If he sees me right, I will see him right. That's not maintaining relationship. He must see me right, then I will see. That's not maintaining relationship. Maintaining relationship is the person severs the relationship, but you still have the heart to go and maintain. Like if you read the stories of these people that did work for Deen, then nearly all of them maintained a very high level of family relationship. Very high. You hear of Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib, Allah Pak took a lot of work from him. Then Dioban, there was Mufti Azizur Rahman Sahib before him. Right? A lot of work. So, in his whole area, about 1500 homes, so if he's going to the shop, right, to get his essentials, so you see now, identify the homes where there are widows, all widows, right? And they find it difficult to do the errands. But every time that he's going, second, third day that he's going to get his essentials, so he'll go and make it a point asking them. Most of them will be his family or family friends. What do you need? And he'll buy everything and bring it for them. And that time, they have like packets, like, you know, you got packets, checkers and all that sort of thing. So they give you some small paper, or he's got his chadar, and got everybody's things there in the chadar. Everybody's, whatever you want, rice, you want chilies, so you got everything in the chadar. Then he'll go back and deliver this to this auntie, that uncle, and do it, make it a point. Now, sometimes he went to do the buying all on foot, no car at the time, all on foot. Just going there is about a kilometer. I saw that place. So, about a kilometer. As he came to deliver the things, wrong thing you bought. But don't worry, I'll go back. Then he went 1 kilometer, carried everything, brought it back, another kilometer, and now they're reprimanding you. You got the wrong things. No pulling up the face. So, and now look at the type of work Allah Pak took from them. We hear of Haji Bhai Qariya, Rahmatullah Ali. He was also the same, living there in Venice Kodi, like a small holding, right? Total farm, no house, right around, nothing. There's about 12, 15 families living in that one house. Widows, old, weak, all. Right? Now if he has to come to Durban, it's an effort. That time, everybody doesn't have a car. You know, you talk about Abdul Rahman Saleh, no? So, this Cape Townians got a little bit of humor in them. You enjoy it. So he used to say, that first Bhaipadya, when he started the work, he used to go walking. Then he used to go onto the highway and get a lift. Right? And then people start offering cars. And now he has the rank of the malaika. He's just flying here, flying there. You like the humor. But how he started and how Allah took him. So he also is looking at all the weak, the poor, the aged, handicapped. What do they need? Someone wants one button, someone wants some ribbon, some cotton. They need this, they need that. Seeing all the needs, he go to town, get every person whatever they need and spend a day at least more there, but get all their stuff. See, that's called sila. Though, after that also you get a kick after that. Now, you got the wrong stuff, why got this thing here? Who asked you to get this one here? The people will shout, right? But with all that, say, no, let me do this. So, laysal wasilu bil mukafi. Not fit for that. You're not getting any joy out of them, but yet you got a passion. Let me do something for them. Let me be kind to them. Within my capacity, what can I do? How can I do it? Let's work something for the person. One person was here, so he's telling me, you know, that my father passed away, right? So, father passed away, mother was quite young, 35, 40. So, how the community worked at that time, probably about 50, 60 years ago, how the community worked. So to run the house, she was buying some fruit and selling it. So one elder person came, he said, Auntie, you're not going to run the house like this. There's fruit and some veg and you're selling, so you're not going to run the house like this. So one said, what's the alternative? So he gave us start capital. He said, take this. I'm talking about 60 years ago. Take this 500 rand. 500 rand was big money. Yeah. Take this 500 rand and we'll teach you how to make mithai. So he sent his wife or someone to make mithai. Sweet meats. Now she did a business with that. Now all this way I know the person that gave that auntie, that she passed away about 2 years ago. She was about 98. She passed away. But now, he gave her a start and showed her how it is done. And she made such a fortune out of it that she built 5 homes for her sons. 3 of her sons are doctors and accountants, right? For the same money. And nearly all her children and grandchildren she sent for Hajj and Umrah and everything. That family spirit, see, family. Not just me now, me and my comfort, me and my comfort, me and my comfort. And you know, become a little bit pious than go for Umrah. A little bit more pious than 3 harams. This thing comes first. Sila is even before that. See, when the Sahaba Kiram asked, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ then Allah Pak didn't say, قُلْ مَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ من خير فلل umrah. No, he said, فلل والدين والأقربين واليتامى والمساكين. Look at all these things here. How come you're pious now, do umrah? More pious than go 3 harams. You won't stop anybody. But I said, by these other things to do. How we can build that community, make them stronger, more viable, see right, understand. If, for example, if you were in that same predicament and you see your brother running around everywhere and you're still stuck there, how do you feel? And وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Understand that things change around. Today you are winning, tomorrow he's winning. Things turn around. But you were compassionate, kind, considerate, then in a few years, if you are down, then others will assist you. But that is, if you have the heart to do it. That wealth is such, very seldom you'll find that it remains with the person more than 70 years. It comes, it peaks, and down, goes down again. However it happens, right? But if we have that spirit, alright, let's work. Let's jointly work. Teach the youngsters, the elders, how to go about doing it. What avenues to be spent, right? So can't we be a strong community? Good for us, and good for others as well. Good for ourselves, and good for others as well. قُلْ مَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِلْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْمِسْتَبِينَ. If we don't think like this, then we'll have an alien culture, we'll slip into an alien culture. Right? And how we slip into the alien culture, we'll see their lifestyle and we want to be like them. Now, common thing everywhere nowadays is your parents, your uncles are aged, handicapped, so nobody wants to take that burden on. It's crushing our space. Make it heavy for us, we can't move. Old man is handicapped now, so he's crushing our space, making it heavy for us, push him into the old age. Or the old care, put him there. We'll pay for that. Mustn't be in our space. Now, you're going to age up as well, and then you start just carting you. Sometimes the facilities are good sometimes, but now you go and look at them, you know, sometimes Tabligh Jamaat people, they go everywhere. They gush here, there, everywhere. So they went to one old age, top of the range. So I asked them, how do you find it? So now, every type of comfort they've got, but they're so depressed, like they're waiting for death, like, you know. No moral support, no family support, nobody comes there. At least the Jamaat is going, and keeping them going. But it's not only a Jamaat work, it's everybody's work. To them, see them, talk to them, bring them up. No. Otherwise, Christians are not sleeping, Hindus are not sleeping, they'll start talking to them. So these are our works. The hadith is talking about five duties, right? Iyadatul Mariyah. Looking after the sick. Visiting, taking care of them. What does visiting, 15 minutes and finish? No. Make a plan for that person. He's sick now, what do we do for him? Just visit the person, it's a duty, right? And then, now he needs some type of attention, what can we do for him? As a Muslim, then our duty doesn't just stop visiting the person and running away. It's also a duty to visit them and to work for them, to see now, make it comfortable for them. It's also a duty. In Badayu Sanai, so she writes there, like it is compulsory to take care of a Muslim's property, right? Muslim's property is forgotten or abandoned, right? So it becomes the duty to look after that. Other Muslims should see now, he forgot it or he dropped it. There was a watch in the wuzu khana or some expensive thing, whatever it was. So it becomes our duty to take care of that. So exactly the same, to take care of that person's life also is a duty. If the property is important, the life is more important. So if he's in a fallen state now, can we say now we have accomplished our duty just visiting the person? Visit the person, that's also a duty, right? I don't say it's small, it's very important, it's good. But equally or more important is, let's see what we can do for the person. How can we bring him up? What should we do? Sometimes there are old women, 75, 80, someone is in a stroke or they can't move and the caregiver didn't come for the day and they're living and all around them is mess, dirt and filth, some is few, some of them is messed up, but they can't move because the caregiver didn't come and the children are not bothered. After 1 week they'll come and see the parents in that state and still they don't have the courtesy to go and clean them up. notwithstanding that you were also small, and your parents cleaned all the mess, whether it was few, whether it was whatever else, they cleaned everything with love, with passion. Now you can't do it. For one day you can't do it. So we think now we can compensate with that. That's not our thinking. One very professional person in Durban, I won't mention the name, high professional person, very wealthy. So, he got a caregiver for his wife, his mother, and he's gone to Disneyland. Really, he went to Disneyland. Now, in the midst of all his joy and happiness and all that, with his children and wife and all that, phone came, mother died. He's explaining himself, all that enjoyment was just killed straight away. That this is what I did for my mother. But my holiday and my Disneyland was more important than my respected mother. What didn't she do? From small she brought us up, she cared for my education, she worked and seen that I was educated, and she did everything. Now in this state here, I didn't even offer her a moral support being at her side at the time that she died. So our whole thinking goes off. And sometimes it's such that you can't reverse the thing. You can't change the thing. So one is Iyadatul Mareed. And then different areas, the youngsters, or even middle aged, think now, what can we do? What can we do for the community? At least in a radius of about 30 kilometers. What can we do for the Muslim? Irrespective of race or language, what can we do? If everybody thinks, you know, youngsters are going off, what can we do for them? Someone is in financial constraint, what can we do for them? Someone is not feeling well, what can we do for them? Someone got little children and nobody to take care of them, what can we do for them? So if some youngsters get together, alright, what can we do? There's a lot of activities. And just as an additional precautionary measure, nowadays, because it's fitna time, women are doing for women, and men for men. If it's women that require assistance, right, then let women handle that. And men require assistance, then let men do that. So there's no fitna and there's no suspicion. Sometimes there's fitna and sometimes there's suspicion. What is his uncle doing at that auntie's house? See, every now and then he's going to give grocery hampers. Yeah? Grocery hampers you don't give every day. Why is he going every day? See, unless it's suspicion. So if it's woman, then some woman is going to do the work. Men are going to do the work. So one is Iyadat al-Mari. One is now janaza, right? Ittibaul janaiz. Someone passed away. So from the time that he's passed away, he is buried. What is to be done? One is burial order, one is kabristan, one is ghusl, kafan, the hearse, right? Whatever is supposed to be done in our context. Some youngsters, you know, go around. Let's take this on. Someone did Iyadat al-Mareed. Someone did the ittiba'ul janaiz. But how much of sawab? What a great, great khidmat you do. So don't restrict the ibadat into few actions. Right? Etikaf, etc. is great. Jamaat is very great. Right? But the jamaat or the etikaf is to create a consciousness of your obligations. What's the? It creates an awareness, alright, this obligation. And are you registered? Are you understanding? There are so many things carrying on. So you see, Iyadat al-Mareed, then Ittiba'ul Janaiz. Then Rasulullah's Sifat, you know, when we talk about the Sifat, one of the Sifat was Malja'ul Yatama wal Aramil. Malja'ul Yatama wal Aramil. Rasulullah was the sanctuary for orphans and for aged women, aged widows, nobody for them. So he will identify and take care. Are we claimed to be the followers of that Nabi? But are we anywhere near taking care of orphans, old, aged women? No, nothing, nobody for them. Are we doing anything for them? But youngsters have got the energy, they got ideas, they got brains. Let's pull the resources together. A lot can be achieved. Don't become despondent. I'm just showing you, how the energies can be channeled in a positive, constructive way, bring you a lot of rewards, much more reward than you're in the field. Ibn Abbas is sitting in Al-Tikaf and someone has got a need. He breaks his Al-Tikaf to see that person's need. Then Ibn Abbas shows him the reward for that. This is much more rewarding. I don't say that break your Al-Tikaf now. I'm identifying the problems. What we're supposed to be doing. Don't become seasonal Muslims. Only Ramadan, Al-Tikaf, and then we're doing all the good works. This is to create an awareness of our obligations. One person, not wealthy at all, is breaking even. So I showed him the importance of taking care of your parents. And just smiling at their faces, with obedience and love, but you smile at their faces. So he says, from that time that I explained to him, till now, for 20 years, he says, when he leaves his home, every day, he travels about 15 kilometers, just to put a smile on his parents' face. Getting one Maqbool Hajj, sawab. Just go there, put a smile on their face. How long will it take you? There's something nice prepared in the house, garam bhajia or something. You took it for your parents, or some chutney they made. Right? Something they made, and you took. And you smiled at them, gave them a nice story. How nice, and how much du'as aren't you getting? One is the sawab that you're getting. How much of their du'as are you getting? And aren't you bonding? Poor person, he cannot afford to be living with his parents, because they are also living in constraints, and he can't house them. So what he could do, he did. All right, I can travel and do for them to the best of my ability. He is. I say 20 years, and I haven't missed out. Every day I go to the house, talk to them a little bit, make them smile, happy, and then I'm going to work. I said, well, I'm not short of anything, but he's poor. But Allah gave him that level of contentment and satisfaction. So you see, Rasulullah s.a.w. sifat, Malja'ul Aramil wal Yatama. He is the sanctuary for the poor, for the yatim, and for the old. So Ittiba'ul Janais, Iyadatul Marid, wal Yatama Masakin. Right? Then the fourth duty is then, to make the Muslim community a vibrant community. So there are those that are attending the maktabs and all that, and there are those that are not interested. You want to get all classes, some are attending and some are not attending. Someone, they want extra curricular activities, right? Or they're living in the States, right? And they don't consider that dini education and tarbiyat, etc., as important. You can't fight with them. What they're doing is wrong, but you can't fight with them. How to rope them in into the mainstream? Because from now, if that extracurricular, etc., becomes more important to them, tomorrow when they'll hop out of Islam, then they will cry, say, now this person turned away. But when he was there on the edge, he was accessible, he was approachable. Did you make the approach to talk to him? Because nice, friendly, invited him, spoke to him nicely, spoke to his children, to them or Jamaat a little bit. You see now they're right on the fence, right on the edge. So at that time, did we take out the time to go and talk to these people, bring them, put them into a maktab, enroll them, encourage them, save them money? Do we do that? And remember, Allah Pak doesn't need anybody. Remember that. Doesn't need me, doesn't need any of us. Allah warns you, in tatawallaw yastabdil qawman. You're not going to listen, we'll replace you. You're indispensable. Who are you? Who are we? We're indispensable. For a moment we don't think that. We don't think that we, if I'm not around, that who's going to do the work? Nobody is indispensable. The fact that Allah blessed us with the opportunity of work makes shukr. And think of these people that are underprivileged, whether materially or religiously or spiritually, they're underprivileged. How to work for them? What to do? How to bring them back on course? How to make a strong, vibrant Muslim community? How to do it? With all this activity, then it must be for the woman as well. If it's for the young boys and children, etc., then what about the girls? Girls, women, what about them? Something to keep them together. Something to make them strong Muslims. Understand their responsibilities. Understand their duties. You must understand. You can't just now say, they're not interested, so forget it. I ask you, if it's your own child, and he's not doing well at school, or whatever else, or his business, no, he's not doing well now, it's his business. You have that attitude. Somehow, you know, come from one end, other end, make it work. If it's a medical condition, take to one doctor, and you can't see joint, so you're not going to neglect the child, take him to a specialist, hospital, or go for ruqya, something just to get the child right. Don't you do that? Something, you'll try, you're not going to stop. At any point, you're not going to stop. And sometimes after 10 visits, you get the person right. Doesn't happen. You're the Kalguzari student that 50 times, after 50 times, you got the person right. Don't you hear that? You try and try and try. The 50th visit, he just struck. And now he's on. Before the madrasa could start off, you know, and I was a little more active in Jamaat, Gersh and all that. For 3 days and 40 days, the Gersh and Talim and all that has to be quite active in that. But I remember at that time, coming from Gersh, Spingo, all these places here, and you go there and people are laughing at you. But I admire the Jamaat people, with all that they're still listen to all the nonsense and carry on. Allah's grace, those people that are laughing, they became zimmedars. Hum bedgare. We sat down, madrasa, and they became zimmedars. How Allah changed the thing? Continuously visit, make dua, but that must be done according to the style of the elders. See, you're going out for gush, don't let it be like an entertainment or a walk in the park, no. The fikr, zikr, dua, somebody sitting in the masjid making dua. All that fikr, all that all accumulated, that has that effect. Otherwise, it's just it's an outing otherwise. It doesn't have that magnificent effect. So you're going with fikr, crying to Allah Ta'ala, asking, begging, istighfar, tawbah. So it must touch that person's heart. So all these activities, I say, for men separately and for the women separately. And I say, nobody can be confident of himself. Allah can just change things around. You're not doing it, so He'll replace you. Someone else will do it. It's Allah's business. When Allah's business and you're not running it well, the management can be always replaced. You can just change the management. So count it as a blessing of Allah Ta'ala that He's given us the tawfiq, and cry that with shukr and with istighfar that Allah keeps us. Allah tawfiq.
Those who are going to complete the Quran Sharif are requested to come to the front and make the khatam. Inshallah there'll be a khatme Quran. Mulana Mahmood Akram is also requested to make the dua after the khatam.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن المتقين في ظلال وعيون وفواكه مما يشتهون كلوا واشربوا هنيئا بما كنتم تعملون إنا كذلك نجزي المحسنين ويل يومئذ للمكذبين كلوا وتمتعوا قليلا كلوا وتمتعوا قليلا إنكم مجرمون ويل يومئذ للمكذبين وإذا قيل لهم اركعوا لا يركعون ويل يومئذ للمكذبين فبأي حديث بعده يؤمنون بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون صدق الله العظيم
اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها عندك على الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم صل على محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا ذا القوة المتين ويا راحم المساكين ويا أرحم الراحمين اللهم لا إله إلا أنت المنان بين السماوات والأرض ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم إني أسألك بأني أشهد أنك أنت الله لا إله إلا أنت الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد اللهم فاطر السماوات والأرض يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم بديع السماوات والأرض ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم يا مجيب المشتري إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين اللهم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة اللهم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم أنس وحشتنا في قبورنا اللهم ارحمنا بالقرآن العظيم واجعل لنا إماما ونورا وهدى ورحمة اللهم ذكرنا من ما نسينا اللهم ذكرنا من ما نسينا اللهم ذكرنا من ما نسينا وعلمنا من ما جهلنا وعلمنا من ما جهلنا وعلمنا من ما جهلنا وارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وآناء النهار واجعل لنا حجة يا رب العالمين اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم أعنا على تلاوة القرآن ليلا ونهارا اللهم أعنا بالعلم وزينا بالحلم وأكرمنا بالتقوى وجملنا بالعافية
يا الله يا حي يا قيوم يا الله this child who's completed حفظ يا الله Make his Quran pakka, perfect, Ya Allah. Make it a kamil hafiz, and all the hufas throughout the world, and all of us that we are sitting here, Ya Allah. Let us become hufas like the hufas of the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ya Allah, give this masoom child tawfiq, and give us all tawfiq to read one Quran a day, Ya Allah. Give us tawfiq in those mubarak times, of the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the times of the Sahaba and the pious ancestors hundreds of years ago, Ya Allah. We hold day and night, Ya Allah. They read Quran, Ya Allah. They will not leave the house without reading Yasin. Give us all tawfiq to bring our trust back into the Quran, Ya Allah. That with Quran, with the recitation of Quran, Ya Allah, and with practicing on the Quran, Ya Allah, all our needs and all our taqazas will get fulfilled, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make this child a jayyid hafiz, make him a alim, qari, mufassir, muhaddis, Ya Allah. Make him a da'i, Ya Allah. Give him the best health and wealth and give us all also, Ya Allah, the best health and wealth, Ya Allah. Whoever is sick, give them shifa'i kamil. Ya Allah, with the barakah of this Quran, Ya Allah, accept our du'as in this Mubarak night of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in the presence of the Mubarak visitors, Ya Allah, in the presence of the ulama, and with the barakah of Hazrat Maulana Mufti Sahib, Ya Allah, accept our du'as. Ya Allah, give Hazrat Mufti Sahib shifa'i kamil, Ya Allah, from ghaib, Ya Allah, you are the shafi, Ya Allah. Wa idha maristu fahuwa yashfin Ibrahim al-Islam, all in, wa yuba idna da rabbahu anni masan ya dhu, wa anta arhamur rahimin. Ya Allah, we all are asking you du'a, Ya Allah, give Hazrat Mufti Sahib shifa'i kamil, Ya Allah. Give Hazrat Mufti Sahib a long life, Ya Allah, with the barakah of this Khatm al-Quran. Let Hazrat Mufti Sahib's
and spiritual and let it go to the Mashariq al-Ard wa Magharib al-Ard, to the four corners of the world. Ya Allah, protect Hazrat Mufti Sahab, protect all the ulama that are here, protect this idara, Ya Allah, and Ya Allah, let this idara flourish from strength to strength, Ya Allah, let it become the markaz of Hidayah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, like you make Dioban the markaz, Ya Allah, Saharanpur the markaz, Ya Allah, Jalalabad the markaz, Ya Allah, Hazrat, Ya Allah, Mawlana Raipuri Rahmatullah, all our ancestors, Ya Allah, make this idara also the markaz for us and for all of us, Ya Allah, like you made those marakis and you accepted those marakas. Let us all benefit from the ruhaniya of Hazrat Mufti Sahab, Madda Zillah wa Ali wa Damat Barakatuhum, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us all hidayat, Ya Allah. Grant us all ruhaniya, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us tawfiq to make dhikr day and night, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whoever is sick amongst us, give us shifa kamil, Ya Allah. Who does not have partners, give them the best, healthy, wealthy partners, Ya Allah. Deen ke atabar se muttaqi, mutawazi, jannati, madani jor mila de, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, who do not have job, Ya Allah, give them from ghaib, Ya Allah, organized job. Who does not have children, Ya Allah, grant them awlad salih. And who have children, Ya Allah, make them obedient children to the parents, Ya Allah. Make us all obedient, Ya Allah, to our ancestors, to our kabirin, to our satiza, Ya Allah. And save us, and save the entire Muslim nation throughout the world with the barakah of this Khatm al-Quran, Ya Allah. Save us from these tests and trials, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from accidents, Ya Allah. Please, Ya Allah, we are on the road, we don't know what's coming. Today we're sitting here, tonight, tomorrow, we don't know what's coming. The entire ummah, especially all that have come in different parts of the world for i'tikaf, take everybody back safe home, Ya Allah. Who are gone for umrah, bring them back home safe, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive our shortcomings. We have wronged, Ya Allah. We have outrightly broken your commands, Ya Allah. Basic commands, minor commands, major commands, every command we have neglected, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bring us back on hidayat, Ya Allah. Forgive us, Ya Allah. We ask you forgiveness on the entire ummah, Ya Allah. From Adam alayhi salam till today and till the day of Qiyamah. Forgive all the nations of all the Anbiya. Forgive the minor sins, Ya Allah. Forgive the major sins, Ya Allah. Especially the ummah of our prayer, Habib sallallahu alayhi salam. Or the entire ummah, forgive the minor sins and major sins, especially our parents, our grandparents, our satiza. Ya Allah, those who are alive, those who are lying in the graves, Ya Allah, forgive them. And whoever is caught up in the punishment of the grave, from Adam alayhi salam till today, till the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah, they have got nowhere to go. With the barakah of this child's hips, remove the azab al-qabr, the punishment of the grave, from all the nations of all the Anbiya, whoever is caught up, wherever, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, especially the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever is caught up with the punishment of the grave, Ya Allah, to this blessed barakah of this blessed month, and to the barakah of this blessed gathering, and to the barakah of this masoom child's hips, Ya Allah, remove the azab al-qabr, nobody there to help them, they cannot talk, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you, Ya Allah, remove the azab al-qabr from all the nations, Ya Allah. And Ya Allah, when you take us, take us with iman, take us in Madinah. Waj'al mawtana fi baladi rasulik. Allahumma arzuqna shahadatan fi baladi rasulik. Ya Allah, wa satiza, all of our satiza, who taught us Ali Bahtasa, who taught us Hibs, Hafiz Abdul Rahman, rahmatullah alayhi, and our satiza in overseas, grant them all Jannatul Firdaus. Ya Allah, without any reckoning, forgive them and give the highest ranks of Jannatul Firdaus. Fill the qabr with nur, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, take us also all back home safely. Ya Allah, give us tawfiq, Ya Allah, to make all our children hafiz, Ya Allah, to make them alim, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from the schools, Ya Allah, whichever school it is, Ya Allah, primary school, colleges, Ya Allah, they have become fitness and they have become brothels, Ya Allah. Save our children, our daughters too, and our sons too, not only from the schools, Ya Allah, any, Ya Allah, environment which is going to destroy our masoom children, Ya Allah, our children and the children of the entire ummah, Ya Allah, you save us. Give us all the iman and yaqeen. Give us tawfiq of having the taqwa. How Anbiya alayhi salam, how sahaba, how the ancestors of the past, they had iman and yaqeen on taqwa. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلَّهُ مَخْرَجًا. There were no doctors and lawyers at that time. Ya Allah, being that Mubarak time, again. Give us that iman and yaqeen to understand. It is only you that can give us sustenance. It is only you that can give us shifa'i kamil. It is only you can remove all problems, Ya Allah. Whatever the problem is, it is only you do it, Ya Allah. Give us tawfiq to respect our parents. Give us tawfiq to respect our ulama. Give us tawfiq, Ya Allah, to make khidmat of our elders, as Hazrat Mufti Sahab Madda Zillahu has explained us, Ya Allah. Give us tawfiq to serve every Muslim. Give us tawfiq to respect every Muslim. And give us tawfiq to serve every Muslim. Ya Allah, we ask you to forgiveness, Ya Allah. Forgive our minor sins and forgive our major sins, Ya Allah. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina maulana Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina maulana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min kulli khair ma sa'alaka bihi nabiyyuka wa habibuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'adhaka min nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وأنت المستعان وليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Ya Allah, our grandchildren, Ya Allah, our grandsons, make them all hafiz, qari, muftis, and accept them for the work of deen, Ya Allah. Our daughters, Ya Allah, give them the best of partners, Ya Allah. Save their haya, save their modesty, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, our daughters, Ya Allah, and our sons who have got no partners, Ya Allah, send the partner for my daughter also, Ya Allah, from ghaib, Ya Allah. Deen ke aitbaar se muttaqi, mutawazi, jannati, madani, jor ho, Ya Allah. Aur dunya ke aitbaar se mustaghni ho, Ya Allah. Please send the partners as quick as possible, Ya Allah, in the presence of the Mubarak gathering and ulama here, in the presence of Hazrat Mufti Sahib, accept our dua, send the partners for our daughter, Ya Allah, wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqi Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.